You're listening to Voice of the Shuswap, and this is one of a series of interviews with the candidates in the upcoming federal election. The election will be taking place on Monday, September 20th, and we urge every listener, and in fact every eligible citizen, to get out and vote. There are several ways you can cast your ballot. You can vote on Election Day itself, or in the advanced polls, and you can even vote by mail. Please go to the Elections Canada website at elections.ca and click on Ways to Vote for more detailed information. CKVS does not take a position on who to vote for, and to be entirely fair and impartial, we ask all the candidates we interview the same questions. We hope that their answers will interest and inform you as you prepare to cast your vote. I'm JC, and today we're delighted to have Kyle Delfing with us on Zoom. Kyle is the candidate for the People's Party of Canada. Welcome, Kyle, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, so let's get down to the questions. Did you grow up in the Shuswap?
No, I didn't. I fell in love with the Shuswap in 2002, I would say. That would be my first time through the Shuswap when I was hauling furniture on the summer months between school. And pretty much at that point, because I was living in Winnipeg, I thought to myself, well, this would be the place to live one day. And by 2013, that's when I got down here. So I moved here when I was about 27 or so.
What sorts of work and other activities have you been involved in with the Shuswap?
In the Shuswap, I came here to operate heavy equipment. That lasted for about a year, and the company got sold for assets. So I didn't want to go back to Winnipeg. And I started logging, because logging was something that intrigued me. I was hauling a hay rack in and out of the bush here down by the Big White. That was good for the summer, but, you know, heavy equipment by trade. I used to be a truck driver, and I was trying to stay out of truck driving. So I got back into heavy equipment. Unfortunately, the fellow there, he did not get the contracts he was hoping to get. So, yeah, exactly. Find myself, on the weekends, I was doing some moving just for friends and neighbors and stuff that I met here, co-workers. And I was driving onto Grand Prairie, and I decided, you know, I was talking to my wife, we don't want to go back to Winnipeg. And the moving industry in Vernon was, there was only a handful of good companies and a lot of really bad companies at the time. And I knew the business inside out. So I got into that business. And the first year in business, there was 8 moving companies in town that were kind of, you know, not the kind of guys you want to hire. They ended up leaving. And we did that for a few years. I moved into politics in 2019, 2018, somewhere around there with the People's Party of Canada. I ran once with them. I was asked after that by the Conservative Party of British Columbia to join them and run with them for MLA, to be a voice for them in the fall of 2020. And I, after some consideration and seeing the policies didn't actually interfere with my ideology and the People's Party ideology that I represented that prior election, I did that, which actually brought me into the presidency of the Conservative Party of British Columbia and tried to move it forward as fast as possible, building riding associations all across British Columbia through the interior. And then this happened, this election happened and these mandates happened. And so I'm here right now. On a side note, what I like to do here is I love going into the bush on the weekends with the boys, do some target practice, maybe just drive around in the summertime, enjoy some of the lakes, enjoy some of the fishing, right? This place here is it's paradise for me.
What keeps you here?
It's paradise. I'm not sure if you've ever been to Winnipeg, but it gets cold there in the winter, and it's beautiful here all year round. I've not pulled out my winter clothes from Winnipeg unless I go up the mountain in January to have some fun. I enjoy the terrain. I enjoy the people. I enjoy the food. You know, it's a little different. The culture is different here than it is in the rest of Canada. A lot of my friends told me when I moved from Winnipeg, you know, BC stands for bring cash. I said, no, it means beyond Canada, right? The only reason this part of the country is part of the country is because of the CP Rail. And that's what unified Canada. But at the end of the day, it's maintained its own heritage, its own way of living. And, you know, I think it's been the envy of the West for a very long time for a lot of good reasons. And that's why I stay here. It's a beautiful place.
Were you involved in politics or interested in political matters before this election?
I was. And I was even before the People's Party of Canada, even back in Winnipeg, I was involved. My grandfather kind of drove me to politics while I was a young kid, you know, always involved pushing city councillors to do better for the neighborhood because they'd taken over a rural municipality in the city of Winnipeg. And they said, yeah, we'll take care of you. But actually, services got worse. And I watched him demand better of his government. And I realized through that Anybody can do that. You don't have to be an accredited politician or a silver spoon to say you can be a regular guy and get things done. And so in Winnipeg, before I left, it was kind of ironic. The year I left, something I worked so hard for had finally got done. There was a road that turned into mud, and it was on my way to work, but it was on the way to work for thousands of people in my neighborhood every day. And I pushed our city councilor for about 5 years. And like I said, the year I left in the fall, they paved that road. It was beautiful. It wasn't a mud road anymore. So stuff like that here in Vernon, I actually did some good for Vernon after the last election too. I approached the Chamber of Commerce and got them to help us remove the commercial deco vehicle program, which was a way for the bylaw in Vernon to ticket every commercial truck and every person who had even a Molly made smart car. As long as you had a deco on your car, they would give you a ticket if you didn't pay them $50 ransom at the beginning of the year. And we got rid of that. So I've always been intrigued by politics, always involved, and I try and keep myself included in the community and help push it forward because I know I have a voice.
Is being a candidate anything like you thought it would be?
Yes and no. Yes and no. That's a big question. It's very intriguing how things truly do work behind the scenes. I think being a candidate is almost everything I thought it would be, but seeing how different politicians act has been the intriguing part because not every candidate is the same. And even in the same party that represents the same ideology, you'll see different candidates with different styles. And you kind of, that's what's intriguing, being able to see the other candidates from behind the scenes. Not so much this year, but the first year we had 15 all candidate forums, and boy, quite interesting to meet those people and talk to them.
Have you gone through a training program?
Oh, there's no training to be a candidate. I think training is life. You definitely have to have some life experience, few jobs, been to a few social functions, etc. You know, training, not for a politician. Politicking is knowing people.
People have called this one of the most important elections in Canadian history. How do you feel about that? And how do you feel about being caught up in this moment?
Out, excited. I have often said to friends of mine behind the scenes that it's kind of nice to be alive at this moment in history. It's one of the more exciting points in history for Canada in the last 160 years. And it offers an opportunity to do something. It's definitely been the hardest election in 2 years. I've done three in 2 years, and this one's been the most emotional election for people out there. I've never met so many men with tears in their eyes until this election for what they see happening to this country. So it's definitely an honor to be able to stand up and fight.
What particular qualities do you feel you bring to your candidacy? Not just what the party is looking for, but what qualities that you have personally that make you a suitable candidate?
I'm a multifaceted individual. I can catch on to social situations. I can catch on to financial situations. I understand people, right? Whether it's our grandmother in the 80s, I can relate to her, or somebody who's just getting out of high school, who's worried, has anxiety about the world. I found in conversation that I have a lot of life experiences, whether it be work, whether it be personal life experience, whether it be family's life experience that I can share with people here, broad array. An example would be, we have a large city presence coming into the North Okanagan Shuswap, right? I've been all over North America. I've seen infrastructure in many cities. I've talked to people in social infrastructure in many cities. I grew up in Winnipeg in one of the poorest neighborhoods in Canada, which was the most violent neighborhood in North America for 10 years running through my childhood. You really learn a lot of things when you're trying to keep your bike. You really learn a lot of things when you just pay attention to the neighborhood. And I think that this riding would benefit from a younger person who has been in larger urban areas around Canada and able to realize what works and what doesn't, because we have drug addiction problems coming here. We have social economic problems coming here. We have a large blue collar class here that is losing their base of work. Like, you know, forestry isn't doing too good. Oil and gas has been gone for 6 years, right? And that's really contributing to the social economic problems that this region hasn't seen ever. And I think we need somebody who recognizes those problems and is able to work with the community and our organizations like law enforcement and rehabilitation centers to address it better. And I know that me being from an urban area, I think I would be able to help address that a lot better for our community and even explain it better to our community so that they understand what has happened.
What particular policies of the People's Party of Canada do you feel most strongly about, or what ones resonate the most with you personally?
Personally, the financial policies all resonate with me, whether it be our economic policy on taxation for regular working class Canadians, being flat taxes, whether or taking away capital gains tax from Canadians so that they are free to invest in other Canadians and push research and development. I also like opening up the interprovincial border and trades. The reason I focus on the economic ones is because I know that a strong economy builds strong families, and strong families can avoid large socioeconomic problems that Canada is encountering. You know, right now, British Columbia has seen more deaths in the last 18 months from opioids than they have from COVID-19, right? And so I believe that that is attributed to from having our economy fail in the last 5 or 6 years. We're borrowing a lot of money. If we can get back to balanced budgets, absolutely no deficit or debt, and pushing a large economy and a GDP forward, I think that giving people that hope and the ability to earn an income that gives them a comfortable life would stop a lot of those problems. So I think that that's why our economic policies have always been key to pushing the success for Canadians, and why that's the largest difference between us and the rest. They all want to borrow their way out. And like Churchill said, if you want to tax a nation into prosperity, try standing in a bucket and lifting it up, right? You can't do that. And that's what borrowing is. It's taxing the future generations to prosper today. We've got to stop doing that to help people.
What issues do you feel locally, meaning in this riding, are the dominant matters that you will focus on if you're elected?
Well, there's quite a few. We have environmental mitigation for climate disasters that is being negated, whether it be forest fires or flooding. I think we have to start focusing on that from the federal government so we can get the proper funding into the provincial government and maybe in professionals to help them, encourage better planting of deciduous trees within our dry timber, because high value timber is great. But we've seen the forest fire was 135 kilometers from north to south. It's not good. Other ones, like I said, I touched on earlier, addictions. Addictions is rampant in this community, alcoholism or drugs. It's not in every home, but it's affected almost every home. And we need to find a way to solve that. I know it's so cliche, but truly, I have enough experience in my life through this where I think we can approach it differently as a community. And I can get the urgency back to Ottawa that it needs to be addressed here. I don't think that our MP has really made an urgent plea for this. I haven't seen change in the last 8 years I've been here. It's only gotten worse, not better. And the last one is, and again, jobs. We have softwood lumber agreement that's been ignored for a long time. We have to push for that. We need to get lumber mills back up and running here. For some reason, we're whole log exporting out of here down to two toll coal mills in the States. They're super mills, but they're not benefiting Canadians anymore, right? And I think that that's miscommunication between the provincial government, the federal government, and the United States government, and also allowing too much export of product without upgrading it. Like, we are a resource colony in British Columbia for some reason. We shouldn't be upgrading our products and shipping it out at top dollar.
What is the one thing, or perhaps two or three things, that you'd really like to accomplish if you're elected?
What I'd really like to accomplish, number one, is stopping the vaccine passport system, period. I really respect the rights and liberty of all Canadians. And unfortunately, good health is not a right in this country. So for a vaccinated person to demand an unvaccinated person to be vaccinated is contradiction to their ideology of I want my right to good health, because a vaccinated person has a 46% chance of an adverse reaction, a 46% more chance of an adverse reaction than actually succumbing to COVID-19. So choice needs to be restored in this country. I know that all other politicians, including Mel, will tell you that's a provincial deal. Well, $1.8 billion in funding has been set aside by the Fed. It is financing the provincial program right now. The province has said that is an interim measure until there is a larger program nationally. And I know that even if the province maintains control of this program, it is the responsibility of the 338 members of parliament to stop any infringement on the liberty of Canadians, because we have a charter, a bill of rights, and we also have a constitution. There are many paragraphs that they're infringing on. I've talked with a few constitutional lawyers. I've been in the know for the last 18 months in this because we've seen it coming down the pipe. That is my number one goal. Stop that. My number two goal is get this part of the world back to work. We have too much wealth sitting around us for us to not be doing better than we are. And my last goal would be to stop deficit spending, period. I don't think a country like Canada has any reason to go into debt. We're doing it all wrong. We're selling ourselves short. We need to get Canada to a number one top tier country. We're upgrading everything that we pull out of the ground, and we're selling it to the rest of the world, because we have the best social economic policies and we have some of the best environmental policies. There's no reason we should be bringing stuff in from China and India. There's only a reason for us to export everything. It should be net. Our dollar should be above the United States of America.
How do you intend to try and achieve these goals if you're in office?
Well, for the first goal, I'm definitely going to contact a lot of lawyers and figure out as much federal funding as we can. I would work with Maxime Bernier and anybody else who is willing to help us find a path through the courts or otherwise to stop the provinces from continuing their tyranny. As for jobs, that one is a hard one. That's like, we're talking multiple policies. We're talking renegotiating NAFTA. We're talking getting out of the Paris Accord. We're talking about a lot of things here. And that's like a 20-year plan. I don't foresee that being something we can do in one term. It's something we can initiate. And as long as Canadians can support the idea, then we can continue forward. And why do I talk about that? Well, getting out of the UN means standing on our own 2 feet again. If you see, the more intricate the UN has become in our policy, like this summer, the UNDRR policy with the Sendai Agreement, which allowed Monty Lake to burn. If we didn't have these agreements, we wouldn't have a rule now in the Okanagan where only black lumber is going to be followed for the next 6 years, right? We could actually get Canadians working again if we could go to Japan and say, you know something, we would like to sell you more wine, but sell you less timber, or we would like to upgrade it. We could figure out trade negotiations that way. But right now we're beholden to the United Nations and these one world agreements. And it's not fair. It's not fair to a country this wealthy. There's 38 million people here or more, just under 40. Really think about the wealth that we have around us, to have that locked up in the ground and told that we can't take it out because we need to be net carbon zero neutral by 2050 is an absolutely ridiculous and asinine idea. It needs to stop. And so that's the way I would work towards it. But again, I would need more than one term, and so would the People's Party of Canada, and it would take a lot of support from Canadians to get that going. I really believe the United Nations has been the crippling death blow to our industrial economy here, and they are really starting to suck us dry on the commercial economy too. I'm talking to people who are doing data outsourcing to companies in India. One fellow approached me this week and showed me proof. He goes, a company with 20,000 people who are assimilated to British Columbians, they have high-rises down there, and they have computers, they have all their TVs on, the Canucks games, you know, BC Lions. And they're getting called by British Columbians for government services, for hydro, for everything else. And those are jobs that British Columbians should have, you know, stop this outsourcing. It's at every level. We don't have as many jobs to offer Canadians, which is why Canadians are starting to feel bad and getting onto the drug train or self-loathing. And I don't blame them, because an unproductive person can easily become an unhappy person. So that would be a large way of promoting this. But again, you have to be committed to change for it to actually happen.
If you're elected, what are the things you'd like to be remembered for after you've completed your time in office?
Well, being a leader, not being a politician, I would like to not be remembered for seeking a pension. I would like not to be remembered for how much travel my family has spent. I would like to be remembered for improving the community. You know, you're not going to make everybody happy all the time, right? But if you can be a true leader and you're not worried about being reelected, you're worried about doing the right thing. Eventually, I will be ousted from office, but I will probably be better respected doing the right thing instead of trying to get my job back. And that's what I'd like to be remembered for.
The recent heat dome causing nearly 700 deaths in the Lower Mainland and the aggressive wildfire problem this summer have focused attention on the climate crisis. If you were elected, what would you or your party do to address rapid climate change?
All right. So we would definitely get rid of the carbon tax nationwide. And that would help the Canadians who are struggling to put food on the table or a roof over their head, who are now working 2 or sometimes 3 jobs. So going to work 4 or 6 times a day, stop going to work so often. So that would be less carbon expelled into the atmosphere because they wouldn't have to go and work as much. The next thing we would do is get out of the Paris Accord, because again, the Paris Accord, it's got these net carbon neutral goals, which makes it hard for us to upgrade any products in Canada. We need to stop shipping stuff in from China. We got Mel Arnold telling us we'll put an 18% tariff on these products that don't meet environmental standards in Canada. That's a joke, because all the Canadians right now who are buying those products will pay 18% more for it because we're not making them in Canada. We need to start making every product that we were making in Canada in Canada. And yeah, that means that we are going to pay maybe a little bit more up front, but our party is committed to eliminating a lot of taxes that those parties rely on, because they don't have a GDP in Canada to actually generate tax revenues. We are a net import country for consumer goods. We need to become a net export country. That's how we can address climate change, because now we stop using all that hard oil and bitumen to ship all the goods over here. We stop accepting goods from coal-fired power plants in China and start using goods from hydro-fired power plants here in North America, right? You know, there's so many different things we should be doing. But one of the best things our party will do to address climate change as a country is to stop relying on the world and start relying on ourselves. Like the Green Party always says, buy local. Well, why aren't we doing everything local? Why are we only doing farmers markets local? Let's do oil. Let's do factories. Let's do tractors. Let's do everything local again and stop importing and start exporting, because we have higher standards here socially and environmentally, right? There's no reason for us to be importing from the rest of the world anymore. We need to be a dominant economic power for us to fight climate change. And that's the only thing that makes sense. We need to be leaders that way.
One final thing, and we're asking all the candidates this question. Did anyone ever tell you that you're crazy to run for political office?
Yeah, and every time they say that, at least I tell them I may be crazy, but at least I keep it interesting. And the wife will definitely agree. She says, Amanda, she goes, you know, I don't want you to run, but I can't hold you back. You're too crazy not to stop. It's like, I have to do this. I love doing it. It's an honor to be able to stand here this election and be able to fight for the rights of Canadians and to be able to be a voice of reason when every other party is standing here saying, we want to continue to march to tyranny. People have looked at me 18 months ago and attacked me online and said, you're crazy for going against the science, as they like to call it. But now that the science has proved otherwise, I'm not so crazy. I have virologists and biologists and other medical professionals around me who have been assisting me for the last 18 months. And the craziest part has been putting up with the ridicule until the last 3 months when the truth has really started to settle to the top, right? So that's been the crazy part about it this time.
Well, that's all we have for today, Kyle. Thank you very much for taking the time to do a Zoom meeting with us and share your story. And good luck in the upcoming election.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. We'll see you hopefully down the road.
You have been listening to our interview with Kyle Delfing, who is a candidate in the upcoming federal election for the People's Party of Canada in our riding, which is North Okanagan-Shuswap. The election will take place on September 20th. Once again, we urge you to vote in this important election. And we'd like to remind you that you can find all the information you need about voting by going to the Elections Canada website at elections.ca. Thank you for listening. You can hear the interviews with all the candidates in our election again by going to our website and clicking on Podcasts and scrolling down to 2021 federal election coverage.